I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady here from IRIB English Radio. Inshallah ta'ala, we are going to be having a series of discussions regarding the topic of women of Ashura or Ashura and women. In the studio, as always, I have the pleasure and honor of having my lovely sister and friend and wonderful guest, Sister Razia Shamli. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, my dear sister. I love the way you labeled Ashura in women.
Because, you know, Ashura-y women, it's like, it's restricting, I feel. But when we look at Ashura within ourselves, then it gives it longevity. If I feel like it lives on. Right? So this is a very important discussion to have, because often I feel that when we look at the events of Ashura and the tragedies that took place in the plain of Karbala, it's like, oh, it happened 1400 years ago to a handful of really extraordinary people, and how could that ever happen again, and how am I supposed to relate to that, you know? And we could never put ourselves in the place of Sayyidah Zainab, because no one could carry on what she did. We would collapse and fall. We would be dysfunctional in those circumstances.
But what would you say of Lady Maryam? What would you say of Lady Asiya? What would you say of Lady Fatima? What would you say of Lady Khadija? All these women were extraordinary.
Exactly, they were.
And each of them were in their own, you know, cases.
Most of them were borderline infallible. I mean, even when I think about Lady Maryam, she was very young when she was blessed with Prophet Isa, ala nabina wa alihi alayhi salam. But even it's not possible to replicate Maryam in today's world. You want a girl to live in a temple or a mosque or a room in her house?
You have these monks, you have these sisters living in temples, and they dedicate their entire life,
but
their
when
youth,
they're
their
adults
beauty.
And do it, it's okay because they chose it themselves. But to raise a child from the get-go in a monastery, in a temple, in a masjid, and deprive them of all the childhood experiences,
playing and
talking and making a mess.
Running around.
Yeah, barefoot
in the
grass.
You never know, Zainab. You never know, you know? These pages of history are dark to us.
They very much are.
And we don't know anything about
them.
Exactly. Perhaps, these were like complexes. It wasn't like one single room, you know, that kids wouldn't... Actually, kids at that time, they weren't like kids in our time. Their dolls were like one piece of stick of wood.
And eyes carved in them.
Exactly. So their childhood at that time, centuries ago, were...
simplistic.
Not even comparable to what we do for our children. You know, we buy sets of toys, clothes, furniture for our children that they don't even use them.
Yeah, exactly.
And we spoil them. And the outcome of our child raising is not so fruitful in our time. So it's not like what we're doing is the best and what they did was catastrophic. So I think that probably Lady Maryam, when she was 2, 3, 4, 5, she ran around, she had her own playtime. You know, she had her own childish games going on.
But I do think that they were all exceptions of history. Now, no one like Maryam is ever going to happen again. No one like Fatima al-Zahra. No one like Zainab al-Kubra. No one. Come on. Be honest. Can you imagine any woman, any other, Sayyidah Fatima, sallallahu alayha, she said after her father's demise, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if the calamities that befell me during this time befell upon the day, it would turn into night. She was an exception.
Yeah, but still you can find so many people. You know, when you are placed in the heart of a challenging situation, God gives you the power. Mm. Of course, maybe not exactly. You wouldn't turn out like, say, the Fatima Salamullah Alayha, but you have extraordinary powers reserved within you. A human being has the potential, has the capability. Seriously, I believe in this. These days, all these positive thinking ladies who are going on Instagram, they're just giving you positive vibes every single morning and telling you that the impossible can be made possible if you believe and if you work towards it. Yeah. So this is just with the materialistic approach, they're, you know, trying to prove what they're saying is right. But in the spiritual realm, the same story holds valid. And I really think that the spirit of human being has the potential to reach its full capacity if there's a will. Exactly. This Quran. Exactly.
Which basically means that we all have this potential, our souls, our nafs, whether to do good or do bad. But we're going to go on a short break and we're going to be right back. So don't go anywhere.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Muslim Lady here on IRIB English Radio. We're here in the studio with my darling sister Razia Shamilia, and we're discussing Ashura'i women and Ashura'in women. We were talking about, in brief, some women in history that I personally think are just exceptions of humanity. But, you know, that's the job of our show. We take exceptions. We take
rare cases. Yeah,
rare cases. And exactly. Try to dissect them and find certain factors in them that we can apply to our own lives. Exactly. And we're going to try to focus our attention on the movement of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam and how it was preserved and continued by a woman. And how we can...
A woman or women?
Women led by a woman, you know? And Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam also being protected by a woman. Like, you know, Sayyidah Zainab, she just played a very, like, hardcore heroine, awesome role.
I know, at the end of the day, you, like, the only lady that you can find so much to talk about is Lady Zainab.
I know.
But also, before delving into the heart of history and talking about these ladies, I kept thinking about one specific lady today, which is in our own time, not so long ago.
Interesting.
She was martyred. She was born in Iraq, I think in the city of Qadhamayn. And born in a very noble family, a scholarly family. Her brother was also a martyr.
Okay, all right.
I think you can guess what her name is.
Yeah.
What's her name?
Bintul Huda, exactly. As-Sadr.
Exactly.
I think her given name was Amina, though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And she was a remarkable woman.
Yeah.
She was an author as well. She was a writer. She'd write short stories for women.
Exactly.
I think I've read a few of her books. She has a very somber, very mellow, warm sort of pen. And she was brave. She was brave. Like with a capital B, brave.
So she's an exceptional woman as well. One of those exceptional women that we cannot really compare ourselves with?
Yes and no.
Why yes and no?
Yes, in the sense that she was a sadr. She was born and weaned and raised in a scholarly family, like
of
you said.
As-Sadr.
Of the sadrs, right? I'm not saying all the sadrs are like
awesome
exceptional,
people.
Awesome people. But still, come on. Nurture is a factor. Upbringing, nurture,
there
family
are so
environment.
Many innumerable factors, but you have to take a holistic approach when you're talking about a human being. Things come in between. I was also reading about this other lady and her story in supporting the ambassador of Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about...
her name was...
Tawa.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Right? So Tawa was a lady in the city of Kufa, and she was the wife of Usaid Khazrami and the mother of a dude called Bilal.
Uh-huh.
And then Muslim ibn Aqil was in Kufa. It was nighttime, nightfall. Everybody had rejected him. In the morning, hundreds of people were behind, supporting him and telling him, yeah, we're with Imam Hussein. They had actually sent letters to Imam Hussein.
And they pledged their allegiance.
Allegiance. And by nightfall, they all...
revolted against him.
They just changed their mind and they...
they were paid off.
They just left.
Yep.
And he was all alone in the alleys of the city of Kufa. And the only person who came and, took him to her house was this lady, Tawa.
Mm.
And her son was this Bilal who reported them to the forces of Ibn Ziyad. And then the lady and Muslim ibn Aqil were both martyred on the 8th of Zilhijjah. You were talking about being raised in a noble family. You see, of course, there is a very strong relationship between by whom you are raised up.
For sure.
And whose blood
runs in
your veins. But this is not the only story.
Absolutely.
This lady, Tawa, was the mother of Bilal, who reported them to Ibn Ziyad.
Mm.
So, as you know, you're saying, yeah, these are the Sadr family, and they're exceptional, and it's like, it makes it a little harder for you if you are raised in a non-godly family.
Exactly,
but it's not,
that's what I meant. That's what I meant by yes and no. On one hand, she already had the groundwork. On the other hand, well, obviously, she had her potential. She could have, had different inclinations. But she didn't. We have so many freedom fighters and brave figures and personalities, say, in Palestine, from totally normal families.
Mm-hmm.
But they fight for justice. They fight against oppression. They fight for their people. They're brave men and women.
Or that Italian rich guy, millionaire, who was martyred, who became Shia.
Eduardo.
Agnelli.
Mm.
You see, he was the son of Ford company. I
mean, owner.
Owners. And then he became to be a true Shiite, and the story about him.
Exactly. So the point is that there are a lot of components at play, like you said, and it doesn't necessarily depend on one single factor. But in any case, the objective of our show, the series of show we're going to have on this topic, is to try to apply all these factors into our lives and see how we can work about it and navigate toward the direction of getting close to those standards we set up for ourselves, i.e. those exceptional women in history, right? Because if you want to set standards for yourself, obviously the standard has to be higher than you.
Mm.
That's all the time we have for today's episode. Thank you for being with us. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah.
The Quran, given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha
Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.